Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, of course, here with me in studio, Chris and Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley coming at you here from the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. And folks, I can claim officially a streak. That's right, two consecutive weeks since my leave for the birth of my baby girl that I've actually written an article. Yes, no. Try not to swoon. But no, in all seriousness, it's kind of fun. NGSCSports.com is where you'll find it. This week, I just asked the world and explained to people things I just don't get about the Carolina Panthers and Steve Smith and why they got rid of him. You could read the article on NGSCSports.com. It was released last Thursday, but it's still on the front page. And actually, my piece from 2 weeks ago, Things I Don't Get About the Tampa Bay Bucks and Josh McCown, is still up there, too, if you're interested in reading that. But nonetheless, I go through a lot of analysis and breakdown there, too. It's a good time all the way around. You know, if you happen to want to peruse that, I dare say it's a very interesting read. You know, it's not necessarily the normal facts and figures you're working on there. I try to have a little fun with it, try to enjoy myself a little bit more, and hopefully you guys do, too, as well. Anyways, speaking of things that we talked about the past couple weeks, gentlemen. Now, Chris, I know we were talking about this a bit off there, and I still kind of like what we came up with about 4 yards being tantamount to putting a basketball goal sideways. You know, that just happens to work out because, you know, it's 10 feet. I mean, you're the basketball player nowadays, Weasel, because, you know, you actually make it to a league where I don't. But it's, you know, 10 feet for the hoop and then another 2 for, like, the shooting box above it on the backboard. That's about, you know, 12 feet there. 12 feet or 4 yards, see, because math, 3 feet in a yard. I don't know. Whatever. But all that talk, I think we may finally have some resolution. The last we'd heard on this show last week was that Jimmy Graham was going to appeal the arbitration that said that he was indeed a tight end and not a wide receiver. Well, now, apparently he doesn't care anymore. Why? Because the Saints, on the last possible day, which was Tuesday this past week, has signed a deal with the Saints. I believe it's $40 million for 4 years total value, with half of it or so, 20.9, guaranteed. Can we just call it 21? Can we make that rule, guys?
Yes, 21.
Okay, good. Because 20 point, what? Who picks that number? 20.9. You know, how many pies would you like? I'll take 20.9 pies. No. Of course, when you talk about pi, that's supposed to be 3.1467, whatever. But, you know, that's for my nerdy audience out there. Woot. What I'm getting to is this. You know, we could break it down, all the numbers and all that kind of thing. At the end of the day, was this the right deal for Jimmy Graham? Chris, let me start with you.
Yeah, I believe it was because, I mean, when you're looking at it, when he signed the ten, or if he was going to sign the tender, it'd be $7 million a year.
Right.
He was looking for the wide receiver, which was 11.
Well, 12.3, but who's counting?
Right. I mean,
like 20.9.
Yeah. Well, once you get over like $5 million, who cares? This is like chump change by then.
It's a big load of money. That's right.
So, I mean, $11 million with how much was it guaranteed again? 21 guaranteed.
Damn it. But yeah, $21 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good deal for him. It was a 5-year deal, right?
4 years, because it breaks down to $10 million a year, which was what he was hoping for. I think that range, I'm guessing, it makes sense. Weasel, you got to weigh in on this?
Yeah, just a yonder that the signing bonus was $12 million.
Okay, so, I mean, that's something right off the bat that is an automatic $3 million cap hit for the life of the contract. But, see, here's where I'm at, guys. When I break this down, there's good and bad here. First off, I think he could have gotten more. Perhaps should have. I don't know. That gets odd, especially when you look at things like, you know, Gronk getting more than $8 million for lying in the tub, being injured for a lot of the time last year. Andre Johnson at 157 years old getting $10 million as a receiver. You know, Jimmy, you're not going to get a better production-wise tight end in the NFL right now than Jimmy Graham. He probably could have gotten more, but I can see why he went ahead and signed this. And if you'll notice, it's a 4-year deal, right? When you get to 2017, and Weasel, I think you have some of this in front of you in your notes if you want to verify, things start to get a little tricky. Like, for one, the number there is just pretty big in general. And they can opt to release him if they release him before the third day of roster eligibility. The Saints can then get out of a portion of his deal as well. Basically, what I feel like he's setting up is a situation where he might be able to renegotiate that contract in two or three more years to get more. Why is that important? Frankly, this contract that Jimmy Graham has gotten, regardless of how you feel about it, is going to be the first of many of its kind for elite tight ends. Because, guys, I think you'll agree with me, this is the direction the position's going, right? So, I don't know. It makes sense that he would build in renegotiation because he's the first guy that's going to get signed. Now, inevitably, when the next tight end goes to get his next contract, let's say Gronk stays healthy 2 years in a row or whatever, and it's time for him to get a new contract or a tight end of that caliber, guess what they're going to want? Well, I want to make more than Jimmy Graham. Not that they'll necessarily deserve it, but that's what they're going to say, right? So Jimmy Graham's trying to build it into where he continue to get his. But I heard something thrown around the other day that I want to kind of ask about Jimmy Graham while we're on the topic. And I've heard to Jimmy Graham referred to as a system player, meaning he's only good because he's playing in that for the particular team with a particular coach, in this case, New Orleans Saints Sean Payton, that lends himself to that team's offense. I mean, let me get something from you guys on that, Chris. First off, with you. Jimmy Graham as a product of the system.
No, I don't believe he's a product of the system. I he'll excel in any team he goes on as a tight end that utilizes a tight end.
Which is gosh. Yes,
basically
a lot.
almost every team now sees the threat of a tight end.
Weasel, what percentage is that?
For what?
For how many teams use a tight end in the NFL?
I think it's about 100.
100? Okay. I just want to double check.
But the Saints don't have a starting tight end, though. That's
I see what
they
you're saying.
They just have a backup.
Yeah, the other guy's a receiver, right? No, but no, and I'm with you, Chris. I don't care who the team is. Name me a team that has a linebacker that can one-on-one cover Jimmy Graham. Don't worry, I'll wait. You know. Give me a team that's tried to use a safety and failed because Jimmy Graham outbodies them. That list is pretty long. And I don't think that changes with the system, especially when we live in a world where guys could go over the middle to catch passes, so to speak, right? I mean, I don't feel like it's just because of Drew Brees and it's just because of Sean Payton that he is succeeding. Frankly, if you put Jimmy Graham in place of Gronk for the Patriots, for example, this past season, the only thing that would be different is maybe they wouldn't run to Jimmy Graham's side as much. I mean, you know, I believe that Gronk is a more complete player because he blocks better. But, hey, no one wants to talk about blocking for tight ends anymore. That's not what got him paid. Even, you know, Shannon Sharpe will tell you that. But I don't know. Where I'm at, I don't feel like Jimmy Graham's necessarily a system player either. I don't know. I mean, you could put a corner out to cover. You could put the slot corner on Jimmy Graham. No, I don't think so. Now, what do you got? You got something, Weasel?
Yeah, just you know, looking at NFL.com where they do say he's a tight end.
Yes,
and
well, it's official. He is. Even he's saying that now at this point.
If someone calls him the product of a system,
mm-hmm.
The thing is that the height of him is 6'7". Ridiculous. You go if he lines up on the outside, he may go up against a corner. Corners, I think the tallest, usually I think it's like 6'3", 6'4", around there. But 6 foot and 6 foot one, there are corners like that are elite.
Right.
But the guy is, he just towers over everyone. He catches the ball at its highest point. And he's also got some guy, Drew Brees, throwing him the ball, who is a pinpoint passer.
Right.
So,
but with that definition, hell, Alex Smith can utilize him. I mean, Alex Smith may not be a great quarterback, but he's accurate. You know, allegedly. Russell Wilson could make use of him. Joe Flacco. Okay, let's not go crazy. But That was fun. No, but yeah, I see what you're getting at there, Weasel. Is he's a guy who I like what you mentioned about him finding the ball at the apex of its trajectory. In other words, at its highest point for those of you guys who don't like science. Chris.
But if he went to Kansas City without Alex Smith, his stats would go up.
Because they'd have no one else. That's interesting. Because, right. Because Tony Moiaki was still pretty much negligible. He was hurt so early.
No, I was just saying because it's Alex Smith, king of the checkdown.
Yeah. No, I'm following you. But, like, Steve McGrath, who has among the most epic beards among tight ends in the NFL, got a lot of yardage. I think you're right. And I think a lot of that is why McCluster had so many yards is because there wasn't a tight end threat the caliber of Jimmy Graham. No, I like it. Weasel.
I'll go through the top three tight ends for the regular season last year.
Okay.
So we got Jimmy Graham.
Based on yards or what?
Stats. Different stats.
Okay.
So we got the top three being Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez, and Jordan Cameron.
The Browns guy. Yes.
Browns. Receptions were about around 80 for them.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham, 86. Tony Gonzalez, 83. Jordan Cameron, 80.
So they're pretty close to one another there.
But you have this next one. It's yards.
Yards.
1,215 yards for Jimmy Graham. 859 for Tony Gonzalez and Jordan Cameron, 80. You got touchdowns, 16 for Jimmy Graham.
Wait. How many yards did Jordan Cameron have?
He had 917.
Okay, you said his receptions instead, but yep. No problem. Yeah. We got you. So Jordan Cameron actually had more yards than Tony Gonzalez.
More yards and
interesting. I mean, good for him, but still not close to Jimmy Graham.
The big difference between them with the average yards per catch would be Jimmy Graham with 14.1, Tony Gonzalez 10.3, and Jordan Cameron 11.5. Not to mention also that Jimmy Graham had 16 touchdowns. The other guys had 8 and 7.
Jimmy Graham, of course, leading the league in touchdowns combined for the past three seasons among all players, meaning if you take the past 3 years touchdown total for every player in the NFL, none has a higher number than Jimmy Graham. But no, we don't want to pay him. So anyways, I mean, and I cite this in actually the article I'm working on posting this week. Ooh, a trailer. That he has all these stats, and yet the Saints resisted. I just don't get that. Well, see what I did there?
The same Saints, they were four years ago about, they were talking about Drew Brees getting franchised.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is like, Drew Brees, it's the third time I'm being franchised. This ain't cool. So what happened? You know, they waited. Oh, he gets a new contract. Kind of close to the same thing here.
Yeah, we said that might happen here, which we called it precisely correct last week. Thanks for reminding everyone that we're awesome, Weasel.
Like for Breeze, it's the guy deserved it, of course. And
It's funny when you said for Breeze there, you kind of cut off the end of your four, so it kind of sounded like Febreze?
Febreze.
Is that what people use to clean up their offense?
Our new sponsor?
Yes, right. Right. Arbitration coverage for wide receiver versus tight end. Brought to you by Febreze. We'll clean your offense.
When your coverage stinks that bad.
To get out all dirt and odors from your grimy football field. Febreze. We clean through the air. This is ridiculous.
Dude. One last thing about
yes, Weasel, go ahead, bro.
With Jimmy Graham, this year the cap hit is only about $4 million, which is good. But when you got a cap hit for
a franchise tag, yeah,
yeah. Well,
no, keep going.
$4 million. It's from the contract,
right?
That was the cap hit. The thing is like in the next couple of years where you have Brees, I'm sure his cap hit's what $15-20 million or so. 2015, you have $11 million,
right?
Cap hit $12 million in 2016 and $13 million in 2017.
Whose cap hit are you talking about there? Is that
Saints?
Okay,
for Jimmy Graham.
Okay, so that's Graham. So you're talking about Graham and Breeze having a high cap number, and then
in the following years, yes,
correct. And his cap number this year was $4 million, but the franchise tag it would have been $7 million for that 1 year.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the Saints are trying to make a little bit room for themselves this year. All I know at the end of the day is they've done nothing to beef up their defense.
Mm-hmm.
All they have is Quinn Jordan. No, Quinn Jordan is not his name. I can't remember his Norton. Ah, Robert Quinn. There we go. The mighty Quinn, of course. What's wrong with me?
You're thinking Cameron, the other the tight end.
Actually,
not tight end, the other defense end, I meant.
I was thinking of former TSC personality Quinn Jordan. That's the problem. It's very confusing.
Tight end from Cleveland.
But Jordan Cameron is also
Jordan
well.
Cameron.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but you're thinking of Cameron Jordan, the defensive
who's
end
on
for the
Saints.
Saints.
Yes, I think believe he's a linebacker.
So you're
then
just
Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn is the Rams guy. Okay, yeah. So I did have it right. Okay, so it's right. It's Cameron Jordan is the tight end, but Jordan Cameron, he's the defensive end. Or did I get it wrong?
No, you got it wrong. It's the other way around.
Damn it!
Jordan Cameron is the tight end.
Jordan Cameron is the tight end. Okay, got it. Finally. Maybe.
Jordan Cameron, tight end. Cameron Jordan, defense end.
No wonder they called him wrong on draft day. Hey, that's why, hey, folks, that's why this is called the student of the game, okay? I don't just profess. I get taught as well, and that's okay.
Just think of it this way. Cameron, offense first. It's before the alphabet of Jordan.
Actually, he's the top threat on the Browns now that Josh Gordon is out, yeah. So it's Jordan Cameron, right? Damn it. Anyways, I have a whiteboard in the office. I need to write out the sentence 100 times. Jordan Cameron is a tight end. Jordan, and then when he walks in, Kyle, it's backwards. Damn it. Anyways, let's go ahead then, gentlemen. Enough of this whole, oh, is he a tight end or not crap. Let's get to it. Let's hit the big topic of the week here that we wanted to talk about. And of course, I don't often like to do top 5, top 10, whatever lists, because oftentimes, like if you see the NFL's top 100, the criteria is really a matter of some conjecture. What do you got, Weasel?
For 2 years ago, the top 100 for the NFL, they forgot some guy named Jimmy Graham.
Yes, yes.
And so 1 year later, he suddenly jumps up to number 10. So...
We did mention that he hadn't been on there, but yeah, I'm glad you confirmed he's now number 10. That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. That's how good top anything lists are, and I like how you're making that point there. Well done, Weasel. But in this particular case, I like going with this because when it comes to coaches' criteria, no one's is the same, and I like the discussion for this one. This isn't your typical list where you're like, oh, who's the best quarterback? And then people do stupid stuff like try to tell me that Russell Wilson is in the top 10 of quarterbacks. Well, he's got a ring. Yeah, so does Trent Dilfer. Get off me. Anyways, that felt good, by the way. This is why it's good to have your own show, guys. You can do stuff like that. I'm just saying. Anyways, top 5 coaches most pressured to win in 2014. Now, as we give our list, of course, we also give our criteria therein. And for me, being most pressured, you have to consider a few things. One, how long has he been there? How sick of his how sick is his franchise of him? There we go. Two, fan expectation. Does he have any to deal with? You have to have some fans' expectation to let down, in my opinion, to really be in trouble or soon to face pressure. And lastly, winning. Has he done it? Which kind of ties in with the other one, but at some point the franchise may just be inclined to say, yo, you suck, it's time to move on. With that, at least that's for me, you guys can explain as you go along what your criteria is, but top 5 coaches, Weasel, let's start with you on this one. Top 5 coaches, most pressure to win 2014, starting with number 5.
Number 5, I have Joe Philbin. No, he did have a 8-8 season, but... things like he had that Richie Incognito fiasco.
Right.
I think that kind of put him in the hot seat because he's got to, you know, have control of his players and stuff. And to not be informed of something like that.
Yeah.
But, well, and they did spend, like, in the past 2 years, they have spent a good amount on adding talent.
Yeah.
So, he's number 5, Joe Philbin of the Dolphins.
I'll start with what I like about that first. The fact that they've been adding talent, to me, is proof of the fact that, you know, okay, you got weapons, go to work. I like that point. However, with the whole incognito offseason thing, no. It's a good point if you truly believe he's still damaged by that, which apparently you do. That's fine. Me, I feel like it makes him more of a sympathetic character. I thought about him, having him on my list. I didn't quite. And then I would have had him 5, then you would have said I would have copied you, and then that's just not fun. So I didn't copy you for that reason. Chris, number 5.
Yeah, number five I have is Jason Garrett.
Garrett.
You just got to realize, you know, over there in Dallas, how bad everybody's been saying, you know, he's got to go the last couple of years, and then Jerry just keeps him around. And so you got to think, when's the hammer going to come down on him?
Weasel.
All right, well, a little thing about Jason Garrett with the Cowboys. Now, for the past 3 years, the Cowboys have played in a game where, hey, if we win this game, the last game of the season, we will win the division.
Ah.
That's been 3 years ago that happened, and the Cowboys lost all three.
Well, hey, that's consistency, right? You can't knock him for that. Here's the reason why I don't have Jason Gilbert. Jason Gilbert. What is wrong with me today? Jason Garrett. The reason why I don't have Jason Garrett on my list either is for the very reason you said. Jerry just keeps him around. Look, we've had him on these lists, all three of us, of dudes who need to get fired bad now for about the same 3 years that Weasel mentioned, okay? And it still hasn't happened, okay? It's not going to happen in the year coming when Sean Lee is out for the year already. They ship DeMarcus Ware. They have Miles Austin gone and a lot of weapons out the window. Their cap situation's complete crap. Garrett actually has an excuse to suck this year. Of course, now I say all that watching him get fired in 2015 offseason. But for right now, including the fact that, like you said, dude never seems to just want to get rid of him. I don't have Garrett on my list, but who I have for number five, and this is mostly talking about expectation, okay? They wanted to fire him, in my opinion, this offseason if his team didn't succeed in 2014. Then his team's offense essentially became a mash unit of stars, no doubt, as the Atlanta Falcons lost, in no particular order, Roddy White, Julio Jones, and just a whole cavalcade of characters. His one freaking top receiver, of course, I refer to quarterback Matt Ryan, was Harry Douglas, which I would recommend not going to the Urban Dictionary to look up what that might mean at work. I've never done it, but everybody in the sound of my voice here knows that that sounds like it's probably something dirty. No, Weasel, don't look it up. Okay. No, but no, seriously, don't look it up, man. I don't want to get viruses on my laptop there. But, too late. No, but in all seriousness, so I think that gave Mike Smith, coach of the Atlanta Falcons, a year of borrowed time to come back. He's pressured to win now. He has failed to really have any real success in the NFC South. Hell, people even picked him, not quite as bad as, say, with the Houston Texans. There were some people who thought the Falcons had a shot at a Super Bowl berth. Not us, but, you know. What do I know? I picked the Packers. But at the end of the day, I see Mike Smith having a very hot seat should the Falcons flounder a second time. Taking us to number four, Weasel Weeze. Who you got?
Well, actually, I do have Mike Smith.
Snap!
4-12 season didn't look good, but he is getting some injury-plagued players back.
Correct.
So he's got to bounce back.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say all this happened and he suffered with the stars in place. He definitely would have been axed, don't you think?
I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah. He's kind of for last season, he's got an excuse.
Yeah.
But this season, not so much.
Not so much. Well, unless it all happens all over again, which
we'll see.
I don't wish that on anybody. Yeah, no, not even Philip Rivers. But joking. I don't know. Anyways, Chris, number four, who you got?
Number four I have on this one is Joe Philbin.
Okay.
For, you know, like what you guys have said, that they're getting him the talent now, and now it's got to be his year to win. You know, they were losing season 2 years ago last year. And I don't remember if it was losing season or they made it to 8-8.
It was 8-8 season.
Okay. So with the addition of Knowshon Moreno there, you know, he's got a decent running back.
Who's now missing due to injury at the moment.
Right, but once he comes back healthy, it's better than Daniel Thomas.
You in the backfield is better than Daniel Thomas, especially after you lost all your weight, okay? No, and again, the reason why I didn't put Philbin was A, I didn't feel like the scandal hurt him. It more made him a sympathetic character, and B, dude already has the built-in excuse of Moreno being out, and then, oh my gosh, the center. Mike Pouncey, there we go, being out as well due to injury. Already, they could do all that, and people's lack of appreciation for Tannehill doing a lot with a little, I feel like Philbin would get a pass. Something is keeping this guy around. I can't put a finger on it. Maybe he's got dirty pictures of somebody he should.
Incriminating photos.
Boom. Of course, it would have been nice if he had some incriminating photos of his lineman to stop him from doing all that stuff with incognito. Boom! Too soon? Anyways, allegedly. There, it's okay now, right? Number three, Weasel. I didn't do my number four yet. Duh. You know, I'm kind of shocked Chris didn't pull this card yet, because he usually does every year. Or maybe he's about to in just a higher number. But for me, I got Tom Coughlin at the number four spot because A, New York media. B, New York media. C, no, not what you're thinking. Last year's performance. And D, New York media. But let's concentrate on C for a minute, there, because New York media is what it is the biggest media market, quote, in the nation. Last year's performance, when you think of the NFC East on the whole, I call it the weakest division in the league last year. Okay, you guys can agree or disagree as you'd like. You know, I see Weasel giving me a nod, forgetting that this is radio, not TV. But It's Chip Kelly as a coach, Jason Garrett. Well, we already covered him. We know why he's there. And now we have Gruden, not John, Jay Gruden, starting out as a coach of the Skins. Everybody else is a new coach for the most part. Again, I'm not counting Jason Garrett. The only guy there with any seniority is Coughlin. And, oh, by the way, 25 interceptions last year. Okay, I saw security footage that Eli Manning had trouble getting into Disney the other day, but he couldn't get in because his pass was intercepted. Hi-yo! No, but what I'm trying to say is this. That offense at City in general has expectations stuck to it. And every other year, it seems like Fire Coughlin, he's the prop. Okay, it's not Boston, but you see where I'm going. I mean, whether he deserves it or not, I'm giving the expectation/media defense on this. And by the way, the Giants did not make the playoffs last year. I don't think they made them the year before. People are getting restless. I got Coughlin at number four.
There has been, for the Giants, no playoffs in the last four or five seasons.
Oh, so it's more than 2 years.
I think one of them was, a Super Bowl. But yeah, still.
They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Nice try, though.
No, but four or five seasons, they haven't made it to the playoffs. So.
They haven't made the playoffs since that Super Bowl year.
Well,
is what you're telling me.
Whatever four out of five is, yeah.
Mind-breaking statistics. Yeah, before we get into number three, guys, we'll go ahead and take the break a little bit early so we can keep the schedule all nice and clean. You're listening to the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week till the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGU, football time, just the way you like it.
And we are back here on the National Gridiron Network on the Student of the Game. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with Chris Rankin and Weasel Weed.
Yeah, boy.
Bringing you football talk just the way you like it. We're going through our top five most pressured coaches to win in 2014. And we just finished up number four, where I was talking about Tom Coughlin and the New York media putting all the pressure on. I think we're going to have his name come up again, so I'll cease any more discussion on that. But Weasel, number three.
Number three was Tom Coughlin.
Boom! I didn't even see his list. I just knew it was going to happen. Although, I'll be real, I thought it was going to be Chris.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. Go ahead, Weasel.
So, get my number two?
No. Why you got Coughlin? I mean, is it the same thing I do? Or, I mean, elaborate some.
Main thing was that the past four or five seasons, he's missed the playoffs.
Boom. That's pretty simple.
And he's been on the hot seat for like how many years? 10 years?
Ever since he's been hired.
Well, yes. And when you say the hot seat, let's clarify one thing. It's more like the hot seat to like something that has like a broken oven knob.
Like a slow, you know. What about a slow cooker?
See, that's the thing. It turns off and on because it'll turn off when he wins a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, dude's been there for 10 years, has delivered two Super Bowls. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, that's actually, when you look at it, you compare him to other coaches over that span of time. For example, and I love Bill Cowher, but that's more than what Bill Cowher did with Pittsburgh, right? I mean, you know, I'm in that place, though, where, let me ask you this, Weasel, since you have Coughlin here. Do you feel like him being, the Giants, being a member of that division intensifies the pressure?
I would say it does intensify it. I mean, you have the, I mean, big name football teams and like in the NFC East.
Oh.
You got like the Eagles and
I hadn't thought of
Chip
it that
Kelly's
way.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Redskins. Last year, RG3 was in 2012. RG3 was pretty much, you know, unstoppable. The guy,
ish.
Know, 20 touchdowns, 5 INTs, until 7 rushing touchdowns.
Until Haloni stopped, Haloni Nada stopped him and injured him. But yeah, I think you're right. He was definitely good as a rookie.
But 2013, it was just, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be back like to his old and better ways. And,
or somewhere in between. We got no idea. Yeah.
And the Cowboys, you never know with them. It's
yeah, you do. That's the problem. So,
that's the only reason why I want Jason Garrett to stay.
Yeah, that's true.
So, says the Giant fan. I don't know. Anyways, Chris.
Still got talent.
Excuse me.
He's still got talent. The division, but I mean,
yeah. I mean, we still have time to change our minds by September 1st. But if I were asked to pick today, I still think the Eagles repeat and do so very easily. But That's just me. What do I know? Chris, number three.
Number three here. I have the other New York coach, Rex Ryan.
Sexy Rexy, baby. I knew he'd make the list somewhere too.
Yeah, he. Everyone thought he was going to be gone after last season, how bad they've done the last 2 years.
Right.
Defense did come back around last year. I mean, they were pretty well, which that is Rex Ryan's specialty. So I think this year they got some they brought in Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. They brought in Eric Decker, you know, something to help
Chris
out
Johnson.
With their offense. Chris Johnson. So, they got broader receiver, quarterback, running back. Their offensive line, I think, is a little weak there, but their defense is still solid. So, I mean, here is their chance. I mean, they need to have a winning season for him to even attempt to keep his job, but he needs to make the playoffs. Which
and who's that number two? Stephen Hill, right? The other receiver?
Yeah, they have Stephen Hill as the other receiver.
So, I mean, whenever he's good, whenever he's in, he's good. I know he struggled with injuries a bit earlier on in his career there, but, I mean, it's not like they don't have pieces. Sure, Eric Decker, there's some question marks. I mean, we made the point on this show before that the two quarterbacks he's had throw passes to him are at opposite end of the spectrum. Weasel, I always pop quiz you on this. Who was the first quarterback he caught passes from?
Tebow, I believe.
Tebow. That's correct. The other quarterback he caught passes from? Weasel, you want to take a shot?
Nick Foles.
It's still in the Broncos.
Broncos, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, that's right. So you go from absolutely not good, in the opinion of many, inconsistent, not natural as a passer, to arguably the best or in the discussion among best to play the game. There's not really middle ground there. Guess what? When you're dealing with Geno Smith or Michael Vick, you're at the middle ground. Some would argue closer to Tebow. I wouldn't go that far because, well, I'm not going to get into how I think Michael Vick has gotten an unfair rap in some instances. No, I don't mean regarding, yes, he deserved his prison sentence, Weasel, don't try it. But he's like, I wasn't going to say nothing. Yeah, you were, Weasel. No. But I mean, as a passer, he gets a bad rap. I don't completely agree with it. I hope for Vic's sake that Chris is wrong about his the offensive line's performance prediction there. But I don't know. It's very interesting.
Big thing with that offense next year, its success. It's comes through running back Chris Johnson.
Yes.
So I would, because if they get some running game, and but Vic can, you know, maybe take advantage of, you know, some accurate passes, they can be dangerous. But yeah, you don't know what Chris Johnson you're going to get. Like the one of like the past, like, you know, 4 years, 5 years, he's like not really motivated.
Yeah.
And it's like the guy broke 2000 one year, and then the rest, it's like, so
well, when you're with the Titans and you don't have a quarterback, you can key Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
But Jake Locker is the best ever.
And what receiver?
Well, Kendall Wright's pretty good.
Kendall Wright
is pretty good, but I mean, he is a victim of being on a bad team that has Kenny Britt in some sort of trouble on a regular basis. Granted, that's not their problem anymore, but I see. Oh well, they have Delanie Walker now.
Yeah, now
and they had I'm forgetting his name, but the guy that went to the Rams, who was their fullback slash tight end, who's actually pretty good. I'll get his name in a minute, but. Like, I'm sure Ralph Garcia is screaming at the radio, it's this guy! This is his name! But, I don't live in Tennessee. Anyways, number three to me now. Part of this is because I feel like he's been coaching on borrowed time because of what he did earlier in his career, bringing along a quarterback to an almost elite status, having to deal with changing the identity of his offense, and dealing with his defense still being good despite being long in the tooth. And I refer to none other than our boy, Omar Epps. I mean, Mike Tomlin, for my number three spot. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody would tell you he's a bad coach. But after year number 9 or 10, I'd have to look. It's one of those two. And with the Steelers, well, let's put it this way. The past couple seasons, and this one coming up, the Bengals have been favored to win the division. Not the Steelers. Some idiots picked the Ravens to win the division last year. Not mentioning any names, me. But it's a situation where Steeler fans have gotten, rightly so, accustomed to good football, and they're really not seeing it.
Well, this year, it's going to be, I think at least on defense, it's going to be a lot younger, faster players. So they're kind of, you still got Dick LeBeau, who's one of the best defensive coordinators
in the
NFL. He's great. And the Steelers, over the years, with especially their defense, they had a lot of aging players, like Troy Polamalu.
Oh, and they still are relying on him and some others.
Lamar Woodley and some of these guys, it's like they've been in the league over like 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And the past couple of years, it's caught up where the team is affected. But it's the defensive side of the ball for them. It's going to be different, and it's going to be interesting to see.
He's going on his seventh year.
Seventh year, okay. Yeah. So,
he was hired January 2007.
Okay. I thought he had more time in than that. But at any rate, what I know is this. Granted, for seven years for a coach, as far as the Rooneys is concerned, isn't very long. But in this environment, in this NFL, and by the way, trying to defend your fan base that you may get passed up by the Bengals twice in a row, that's going to be a tough sell. That's why I have Mike Tomlin at number three, whether he's been in the year for 7, 9, or 10, whatever. Thanks for the correction, by the way, Chris. So, I don't know. That's where I'm at. Number two, Weasel.
Well, my number two was Rex Ryan.
Sexy Rexy.
Last three seasons, no playoffs. And it's going to be a lot. It's going to be put on Geno Smith. So, his development, I mean, you draft the guy in the, I believe it was the second round. And
you're right.
You're pretty much, you took this guy to be your franchise quarterback, the future. So
the future.
Yeah. So if it's going to be him, time will tell. But as for this season, it's he could have gotten fired years and years ago. So
let's not go crazy. But yeah, we've talked about his name has come up in the past before. That you are absolutely correct. All about years and years. It's not like he's been there for 10 years like Coughlin's been there in the Giants organization. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I want to say his name's come up at least twice before. So we'll do that much. I mean, right? I don't know. But yeah, no, that makes sense, Weasel. Number two, Chris.
My number two is Tom Coughlin.
Ah, see, I told you. See, I wasn't wrong.
That's because I put him on every year. So it's New York. They have to be on there.
I'm just paying attention.
Yeah, like Weasel said, they haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years after they won the Super Bowl. And they're going backwards instead of forwards. So they need to go. You know, they've had issues with the offensive line last year. Eli throwing all those interceptions. Running backs got hurt last year. So I mean, they're coming back. They're getting their running backs back. Hopefully, their corners stay healthy. That's been an issue the last couple of years as well. So this will be the year that, I mean, what is he, like 90 right now?
190, sure. I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's been around forever.
He's been talking about retirement a little bit already.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that might just help him kick him out the door so he can go retire.
What kept me from putting him that high at 1 or 2 is that very thing you said is about him being retired. I mean, honestly, if you're about to, if like, you feel less pressure if tomorrow you're going to actually get to go home and hang out with your wife and kids and your family and stuff and, like, have lots of money doing it, which, you know, I mean, I've seen Tom Coughlin's wife be interviewed. That's a very nice lady. I wouldn't mind hanging out with her. She's fun, you know.
But you got to—it's something for him to basically live for—is the coaching. He lives for coaching and everything. Look back at Joe Paterno when he was saying why he coached for so long when he coached into his 80s, because he said, once I am done coaching, I'm going to die. 6 months after he, you know, was let go by Penn State, he died. Yeah, it was cancer.
Well,
and everything,
and
but
it was 4 decades.
Right. I know, but I'm just saying it's like the same. Yeah, Coughlin has like the same mentality as Paterno. You know, I'm still going, still got the passion for it. I still want to go.
I can't confirm or deny it without personally knowing him, but it makes sense. It makes sense. Part of me feels like, though, there may be an element with Coughlin's ability to change his approach. I don't see him being a focused guy like that. Like, I mean, just look at the way he's changed his coaching style multiple times over his career just with the Giants. He came in hard and stern to get cats right, and it kind of worked but didn't, and some of the veterans were starting to revolt. Then he actually built a player committee, including players who weren't getting along with him well, including Michael Strahan, for the record, and actually had them input some things that need to be done differently to try to keep the team focused, yet still, you know, with good morale. And for one to go from being a stickler to being more lax is a hell of an adjustment, you know. And it's that makes me feel like he might pull, you know, the Murtaugh rule from Lethal Weapon. I'm getting too old for this. Beep. I feel like he's come home after a few of those games. Like, for example, the was it a playoff game? Or was it just for playoff qualification? I don't remember. But against the Eagles, where the guy punted it right to the returner, and the Eagles take it back to win the game, when he told the punter, don't kick it to him! You know, I'm sure that night he went home thinking, I'm getting too old. You know.
Yeah, that's when they gave up 28 points in the last six minutes of the game.
That's right. Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous. There's no better way to describe that. I don't know. Anyways, my number two, actually, I'm going to take one out of your book. I got Sexy Rexy. Rex Ryan, in my opinion, is already on borrowed time. Why? A, he's likable. Players like coaching for this guy. Whenever you hear an interview about Rex Ryan with the players, what do they always say? They always say, yeah, I like playing for – I would always play for Coach Ryan. Coach Ryan is great, yada, 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 on and on and on down the line. Moreover, people were expecting – I think you cited it too a little bit with Geno Smith. You at least said his name. People were expecting a much more dismal failure than they got from the Jets last year. Okay? Think about that for a minute. The saying goes, if you promise a 3 and you deliver a 5, you're a hero. If you promise a 7 and you deliver a 6, you're a bum. Right? People thought they were going to get a 2, and I got a 4 or a 5. Okay? But what I'm getting to is, I think that trying to having successfully limped the Jets far along as he did, he, quote, bought him an extra year. Otherwise, I think he'd have been out the door. They're like, okay, the jury's still out on Geno Smith. He's got Vic. We got him some weapons. Your defense is starting to play. Step your game up. Now, we've also seen him already come out of the gate and doing his Rex Ryan thing with the whole, oh, I'm not worried about the Patriots. They should be afraid of us. The quote is, they should be afraid of us. Now, granted, again, people blame him for like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? Have you seen your team? Dude, one more time. When you ask a player, coach, or any member of a football team that question, what are they supposed to do? Yeah, we suck. Bill Belichick's going to kick my ass and take my lunch money. No, you can't answer it that way. Now, granted, you don't have to go, yeah, they should be scared of us. You know, of course, they could also. See, but it's not Rex Ryan's style, I don't think, to be boring, right? He could answer the question like Bill Belichick. Oh, they're a good football team.
Well, yeah. he had to come out and say a comment because they haven't been talking about the Jets in the last couple of weeks. So he has there's something up there.
Ah, the marketing.
I mean, it is off season right now, but really they do play well against the Patriots every year under Rex Ryan.
They only lost by 2 points, I think, in the first time they played them last year.
Right, and that was because
They ended up beating them the second time. So there you go.
Yeah, that's because Geno Smith led the corners again 4 times.
Oh, Geno. I don't know. He could have done a lot worse. I'll leave that alone. But anyways. And now, according to the Student of the Game panel, the most pressure to win is on which coach? Weasel.
Mine was Jason Garrett of the Cowboys.
Wow. Did not see that coming. Do tell us why.
Well, it's like we mentioned it earlier. They've been in elimination games where if they win, they go to the playoffs. And they win the division, lose, you go home.
But that's Tony Romo's fault, right?
And, yeah. Well, it's happened the past 3 years, and there's a little thing with maybe should they have picked Johnny Manziel or not. That was a...
Stop it.
But...
Come on, man. That's his new man crush, man. He's got to throw that one in.
Who?
Weasel, with Johnny Manziel.
I'm just...
I'm
bringing the
Johnny.
News
out.
Oh, that's
Johnny.
Oh,
Johnny.
The guy has the number one... number one in jersey sales of all the NFL.
Johnny.
Second is, I think, Johnny. Is Kaepernick. And
wait, what?
Second or third is... second is Russell Wilson. Third is Kaepernick.
Even still, the fact either of those two guys have two and three, that is kind of amazing. Okay.
Yeah. So...
No, I mean, I know I talk smack... Well, I don't talk smack on Russell Wilson, but rather I find him to be a little overrated. But no, I think that's awesome that his jersey's that high. Sure, it's because he won the Super Bowl, but... No, that's awesome.
And
okay.
There's two ways of looking at the hot seat. Is he on the hot seat, like, you know, realistically? Or is it the kind of thing where it's Jerry Jones, he's not going to fire him, stuff like that. It's like, I think fans think he should be on the hot seat, but we don't know how Jerry Jones is.
You're talking about that you think Garrett deserves it the most, mm-hmm. even though he won't necessarily get it.
Right.
I'm glad you cleared that up, because Chris was going to talk to you in the parking lot, because he said out front he did not want to see Jason Garrett fired as a Giants fan.
That's well, true. I had Garrett 5. You're going to crap about him. Oh, at 5. You know, number one.
I mean, but you only put him at 5 because you want him to stay there. So,
again, well, no, I put him at 5 because I think that really this is his last year that he is on the hot seat. It's one of those you got to make the playoffs. It's
the third time, the fourth time, this time's the charm. Whatever.
I mean, you got to look once the season starts. If first coach to go, if it's a good coach, like I don't see it happening though. But like if the Steelers got rid of Tomlin,
okay.
I don't think Jerry Jones will pick him up, but he probably should, better than Garrett.
Well, and let's examine that a minute, because there's been other situations where better coaches were available. You know, hell, Mike Zimmer hasn't coached a single game as a head coach for the Vikings yet. Okay? Pop quiz. Mike Zimmer, better coach than Jason Garrett. Weasel.
I have no idea, but I think it's the answer is yes, because it's not that tough to be better than Jason Garrett.
Chris?
I think the towel boy on the Seahawks is better than Jason Garrett.
So you two have already answered the question, okay?
Yeah.
Zimmer, just on perception and reputation alone, Zimmer, who has successfully made a defense out of the Bengals defense, formerly known as the Bungles, I might add, is more credible as a head coach already today with a franchise that's been struggling of late, except for a playoff appearance 2 years ago, than Jason Garrett. The Vikings have been to the playoffs lately more than Jason Garrett. That's why we're more confident in Mike Zimmer today than Jason Garrett. And guess what? I won't bother with the pop quiz. I bet you'll say the same damn thing about John Gruden, even though Garrett is a, quote, offensive specialist.
You mean Jay Gruden?
Damn it, did I say John?
Yes, you did.
Son of a...
Yeah, Jay Gruden, the former coach of the Arena Football League Orlando Predators.
Well, how about former quarterback of the same team, the Orlando
and the Tampa Bay.
And the Storm as well,
yes.
Very good.
And then also for the Orlando Tuskers, who won...
He played, no kidding?
No, he coached the Orlando Tuskers that won the... Whatever that league was, UFL.
Which no one will ever hear of ever again, probably. Yeah, look up the Tuskers on Wikipedia, okay, if you're that serious about it. Anyways, so I don't know. But Chris, deep down, you really think Jason Garrett's going to be gone next year?
No, I don't.
Okay, I didn't think so. Anyways, my number one, and again, a lot of this...
What about my number one?
I thought you said your number one.
No, I haven't said number one. We're talking about Jason Garrett.
Let's say
number
your number
one.
It's your fault. Number...
Damn Jason Garrett.
It's Jason Garrett's fault, yes.
Jason Garrett wants to call a timeout right now.
Well, he should have. I'm not his kicker. He can't ice me.
My number one is Mike Smith.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
I had him as, the top five last year. I mean, give him the benefit of the doubt, all the injuries he had with the receivers with Julio Jones.
Yeah, he is on borrowed time.
He has been borrowed time this year with him coming back healthy. He has to do something this year or he's gone.
Yeah.
Unless something drastic again with other injuries happen again for some reason.
Right.
But you have to make the playoffs. You have to win in the playoffs. There's no other chance. Not even just making the playoffs. I don't think he'll save his job. I think it's winning in the playoffs.
Wow. Well, and I mean, let's put it this way. Like, and a lot of people don't give credit to how much the Falcons-Saints rivalry matters to them. You know, I mean, the hierarchy of rivalries in the game today, to me, go like this. Okay, it's Bears, Bears-Packers, right? Just because it's the oldest, right? Then I would probably say amongst, you know, biggest rivalries is in the most intense. Still got to go Steelers-Ravens, in my opinion. You just don't, okay, when a dude's nose gets broken and it's in the shape of a Z on the bench, that's bad enough. When he comes back and still wins the game, that's even more badass, okay? And that's what you see. That's the kind of thing you see in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry. Then I think next, right now, with the way it's going, with the way that the theatrics have been built up, you got to go Seahawks-Niners. After that, even more than the NFC matchups or the AFC East matchup or any of that, I'm going to go Saints-Falcons next. Just because every time they get together, it always, well, mostly seems to be a pretty close game. And I think the Falcons fans are getting kind of sick of it. If you go take it to the college football ranks, if you don't win the Michigan game as a coach of Ohio State or vice versa, you can win every other game on the schedule. People are still going to remember that, you know. So the only reason why I didn't put Mike Smith as high as you, Chris, is, well, because Matt Ryan. And maybe a little bit is, I think he is Matt Ryan being the new Tony Romo does not get enough credit. And maybe I should have put it because realistically, Mike Smith makes more sense. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. The guy who I had for number one, though, gentlemen, when we're talking about guys who have weapons and have had weapons for a few seasons and have been at their franchise for a period of time and have started to build up expectations that they just haven't quite met, I'm going with Marvin Lewis, okay? Personally, I think Marvin Lewis is a fantastic coach, okay? He's gotten to the Bengals to the playoffs on two separate occasions. By occasions, I mean eras, right? With Carson Palmer and the Red Rifle, a.k.a. the Ginger Ninja, a.k.a. Andy Dalton, right? Four playoff appearances with a team that's fundamentally known as the Bungles. It's a lot of stuff to accomplish, okay? But what's funny about that is even with all the struggling between the Carson Palmer era and the era we're facing now, having gone to the playoffs three times in a row and losing in the first round has seemed to have done more psychological damage to that fan base than not making the playoffs at all. It's the oddest thing. But that's what you're starting to observe. Everyone's like, oh, my God, well, they're just blah, 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 blah. Now, granted, his first year, Andy Dalton lost that playoff game because J.J. Watt just stole that pass out of the sky in the play that made me fall. I mean, have a man crush. I mean, truly admire J.J. Watt as a player. What? Don't judge me. But I don't know. I have Marvin Lewis basically on the strength of expectations. From the fans having made the playoff three times in a row and not gotten past the first round, having weapons and not doing anything with it, and he's been there 9 or 10 years. It's a situation where the answer, especially with Mike Zimmer going to be the head coach of the Vikings and then Jay Gruden going to be the head coach of the Redskins, with both his coordinators gone, should the Bengals fail, who do you think's going to get blamed? It ain't going to be the coordinators. What they'll say is, oh, you are successful only because you had Gruden and Zimmer. You're out, Lewis. Peace. So he's got to succeed to show to it that he had any real contribution in the recent success that Cincinnati has found. Boom. Mind blown. Either that or I could just be bitter that the Bengals didn't make it to the Super Bowl like I predicted last year. But anyways. Anyways, that was that. So those are our top five most pressured coaches to win, or pressured to win coaches in 2014. Now, got two more topics here on the board. I think we only have time for one of them. Okay, you want that one. All right. In that case, yeah, gentlemen, there are only a hand. There were quite a few rookies that were successful in 2012. To this point, now that we've had two seasons of play from each of them, who is the best among them? Weasel, I'll start with you.
Rookie year in 2012, I would say RG3.
I didn't say who had the best rookie year. I'm just who's best so far.
I'm getting
with
there.
Both years. Okay.
Getting there.
I'm just making sure I asked the question. No, I'm not blaming you. I asked it wrong. That's me.
So it was like RG3. he threw just as many passes in 2012 as 2013.
If I remember correctly, he did get the Rookie of the Year award.
Yes.
But and I think we picked Andrew Luck. But anyways.
The following after that, like, you know, this past year, something happened with him. Maybe it's the injury or such. But that brought me down to two players. It was Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson, a guy that I'm not going to count because he didn't really get to do much his rookie year in 2012 was Nick Foles, even though the guy last year was amazing, like 27 touchdowns, two INTs. But if I'd have to go between Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, I have to go with him because the guy, he's got a fantastic percentage completions, averaging 8.2 yards and 7.9 yards for his seasons. And his touchdown to interception ratio has been pretty much the same, 26-9 to 26-10, and his rating is over 100 for both. Now, he did get the Super Bowl win. He did have good running back support, which I don't think Luck had.
Running back support.
Yes. So, but the thing about him is that he didn't have Percy Harvin last year, and Percy Harvin can get you those yards. He can get you those scores and stuff. And this year, hopefully, Percy will be healthy. And they lost Golden Tate, but I think it's going to... My pick is Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I don't think Golden Tate's going to blow him up. Chris?
Man, I'd have to go with Andrew Luck. I mean, Russell Wilson's a decent pick, but like you said, he had a running back. He had top defense, too. Andrew Luck had no defense. Yeah, had no running back last year. Reggie Wayne went out, had both tight ends that were injured at one point. So you have to put in T.Y. Hilton as your number one receiver, and then you have, like, really no one else.
Now, fairness, T.Y. Hilton did shine, but...
Right, yes, he did. But I'd say the way, yes, he did, Andrew Luck did throw quite a bit more interceptions than Russell Wilson, but he actually had to do more in order to win.
Asked to do so much more.
That's my pick is Andrew Luck.
As is mine. And you said a lot of it right there, Chris, but I'll add one thing. In his career, 11 comeback wins. 11 comeback wins. You know, Russell Wilson, in his case, a lot of times the game is already put away by the time, you know, crunch time comes along. I've never really seen Russell Wilson make a quote-unquote clutch play. I'm not saying he's never done it, but he's certainly asked to do it a lot less. I've actually seen Colin Kaepernick win more games and comebacks than I have Russell Wilson. Yes, Chris.
But I mean, you just said it there with the clutch, when it's time to crunch down. With the Seahawks, it's their defense that needs to crunch down. With Andrew Luck, it's Andrew Luck that
needs
to do it.
11 times that he's had comeback victories
right.
for his squad, including... Now, granted, and I like that people say, well, yeah, but the comeback win in Kansas City with the playoffs, well, it was his fault. I'll grant. He's the kid pulling the fire alarm on the fire he started. I get that, okay? But I don't think Russell Wilson could have done that. I'm just saying that. I mean, Russell Wilson's got a ring, and that's great, and he's a great player, and certainly awesome. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, Weasel, but him making his teammates better, I have to pick Andrew Luck. Anyways, that'll take us to the end of the time here. So I'll give it up for Weasel Weez, Steven, Weasel at the SOTG. Go ahead and give me a yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
There you go. Chris Rankin, that's Rankin.
At Rankin SOTG.
I did have it right. At Rankin SOTG, and of course, I am the SOTG, Kyle Nash, on Twitter. Check out the website, ngscsports.com, where you can check out all my writings and basically all the awesome writings that we have with the National Gridiron Network. It's a good time all the way around. We'll be back next week. Sure, it will be without Weasel, but he will be here in spirit and heart as we will have fun bringing you football talk just the way you like it. But until next time, my friends, class dismissed.